What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Josiah Spackman on the show with Digibyte, right? So the last time I had him on, I think I called him like the ringleader of Digibyte because he didn't have an official title. But guess what? Now he does. He is the chief fun officer for Digibyte. That's right, the chief fun officer for Digibyte. So we have an awesome chat here on, you know, why blockchain just isn't catching on and what we think it's going to take for it to catch on and kind of, you know, the incredible and powerful Digibyte community, their network, all the stuff that they're doing there, adding Digibyte to the Monarch wallet and a ton more. So let's go meet Mr. Fun and his awesome beard and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So guess who we got back today? We got Josiah Spackman with us, man, by popular demand. So great to have you on. Always great to hang with you. And I love the beard, man. It's getting full.
Yeah, slowly kind of. I've actually got this just this little tiny part there where nothing happens. So I'm kind of hoping that people just focus on the gloriousness of...
just put some of that brown seed stuff there, man. I've seen like TV commercials for, you know, it's like late at night. They come on, they sprinkle some stuff on and the hair comes back. You know, maybe you get some of that for your beard.
Spray thing or something. Can't you? Almost like you're spraying like the cheese in a can or something, right? Like just...
Exactly. It looks like you're in a doctor's office. So, man, you got kind of the white walls. You got kind of the mini blinds there. It looks like you got some EKG or something going on behind you. Where are you at, man? What you got going on?
That's my pulse. We can see it's going up and down and up and down. So this is the network statistics for Digibyte. So we can actually see, I'll kind of try and point it out here. We've got like SHA-256, Iscrypt, Qubit, Skein, and I'm still working on getting the OtoCrypt hash rate into it as well. Just tells you a little bit about the transactions, how many connections my personal node has, a bunch of little things like that, just because I think it's interesting. And I mean, it looks cool, I think so.
It does look cool. Yeah. So, you know, for people that didn't see the first interview with us, they can go back and check it out where we talk about you a little bit, all that kind of cool stuff. And I think back then I called you the ringleader of Digibyte, right? So
that's right. That's stuck, man. Like, this is all your fault.
Do you have an official title? Otherwise, I'm going to make up another one for you. Last time you said make one up for you, so I did. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what rhymes with Digibyte? I'm like, well, maybe he could be like the Denzel of Digibyte, right? Because Denzel's like the king, like the king of acting, and you're kind of out there as the main spokesperson for Digibyte. So do you have like a, you know, a formal name yet or title?
Well, so for the Digibyte Summit, I think they actually, they had me on the talk that I was doing there as the chief fun officer.
So the CFO, but chief fun officer.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want any kind of like stupid title or it's like, I'm the senior vice president of, no, like that doesn't sound like fun at all. Like, I don't want that. I'm here because I love what I do, right? Like you share that same kind of passion and enthusiasm for what you do. You don't want to have that kind of label of like, I'm the formal guy that reigns on everyone's parade and I'm just like, no, that's not what you're about. That's not what I'm about. Like, this is fun. This is cool. This is a great time to be alive. We're early adopters in this space. We're changing the world through a whole bunch of different aspects and hopefully on the cusp of a financial revolution. Like, I'm excited about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Josiah, the fun guy, man. So, the chief fun officer. I love it, man. So, I don't know. Denzel of Digibyte doesn't sound bad either, but...
He's way better looking, though, let's be honest.
I was trying to, you know, play you up a little bit right there. So.
So he's got like the full beard thing. He doesn't have that.
just get some of that, you know, the seed, you know, that I forget what they call it. You see it on TV. So you just get some of that and you'll be fine. Or, you know, you could just like, maybe just like trim, you know, just like two like streaks or something like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is the part where we say,
yeah, Digibyte. Now maybe Digibit you, right? You know, you could play it off.
Like I've got the tattoo. Like how much more like.
Yep. You gotta go for your face now. Yep, you gotta go for your face. You gotta go post Malone. There you go. Yes.
So I'll order now within the next 10 minutes and I'll shave the other side of my face or something.
Love it.
How did we become an infomercial, man?
Exactly. So what's new with Digibyte, man? Since the last time I had you on, you know, give us some of the updates, some of the, you know, the pains and the struggles and all that stuff that all of us see in crypto, because, you know, so many people out there, they just have no idea what's going on. They're just like, you know, Bitcoin's a thing that popped. Yeah, what else is there? So,
well,
We see a lot of those pain points, man. So let's just kind of get into it. Give me some updates and throw some pain at us. What's been happening?
What's some pain points? Well, so this is something that's kind of really rung home about me. So my father passed away last year. And so instead of talking with him, he was a pretty technical kind of guy. I've been talking a lot more with my mother now, making sure she's doing okay and things and checking up on her all the time. And
that's not where I wanted to go with this.
Yeah, this took a real dark turn really quickly.
Sorry. Yeah, so what were some pain points? My dad just died.
Well, I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, right? Sorry, bro.
And cut camera, like, we're done. Okay, that was depressing. I'll seal it. No, so don't worry. It gets better. It does. At least okay. I think it does. So I've been talking with her a lot. And she's actually been really good to bounce things off. Because the problem was, is I would talk a lot with my father. And he was a pretty technical kind of guy. My mom, not so much. She is the poster child for the 99% in terms of, like, she doesn't even remember the name of Digibyte half the time. And that's kind of funny, right? Given the amount that I talk about it with friends and family. And she says, she's like, yeah, hey, look, I tune into your YouTube videos and things. She goes, I love supporting you and I'll watch it for a couple of minutes, but most of it just goes straight over my head. And I'm like, that's actually a really good point. Like, she is the perfect, and I'm not saying this to belittle her because she's obviously the first person to admit this. I'm saying this because we've got to focus and readjust the way that we target people. Like, it's great that for the most part when we're on, say Twitter, for example, or Reddit, we're basically just preaching to the choir. We're already here. We're already in the crypto space, and it's a case of, well, I'm trying to convert a Presbyterian to become a Catholic or a Baptist, for example, right? Like, you've all got roughly the same goal. You're still all in there. You've got minor differences in what you like. This isn't really, like, they're not the people that you want to be focusing on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's almost like you read my mind. I've had this exact same talk, you know, with, like, I can't even tell you how many people over the past, you know, years or whatever, you know, like last week specifically with one of my best buddies. He's a fighter, no idea about any of this stuff. So I'm just keep talking, man. But it's just like, man, he was part of the conversation. It's so difficult to get people into crypto when they don't understand it, how it works, and how can we do it in some digestible format for them to where they, you know, they start getting, you know, indoctrinated a little bit. You know, they drink the Kool-Aid a little bit. They realize, wow, this is cool, but it's not so much that they don't grasp it, right? So that's where we're at right now. It's just like, woo.
Exactly, because, like, let's be honest, this is a relatively technical kind of a field here that we're in. So the hard part is how do we compress that down into something that is easily digestible that we can give to a non-technical person, say, for example, like my mother, when I can talk to her and I can say, hey, mom, here's something that we're doing with Digibyte. We're now doing Digi Assets. And already, like, her eyes are glazing over and things like that. Or I'm saying, we've just released Dandelion. And she's like, I got them growing out of my front lawn. So, like, we need to shift from the focus on the 1% or the 0.5% or less who are already here, already in this, already doing it. And instead go to focus more on the 99%. How do we reach them in terms of how do we reach the next billion users and bring them on board? What are they, what's going to be important to them? This is some of the things that I've been talking a bit about on, like, my short little daily morning talks that I do for Digibyte Update. What's going to bring the next billion people in? What are they going to expect? What sort of terminology are we going to be using that's just not going to work? And how do we focus on them rather than preaching to the choir? Because it's great that obviously you're into crypto and I'm into crypto, but for the most part, we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, if you will, in terms of we're already on the ship. Probably a terrible explanation.
That's awful, man. It's like, okay, so now you basically just instilled in the 99%, it's a sinking ship. So get your seat today. Join blockchain, you know, join the blockchain, you know, behemoth on its way down, right? Yeah, awesome.
Let's be a little bit like that after everything with Bitcoin in 2017. Although if you started getting into it, obviously, in like January of this year, you're doing great for yourself, like, swimmingly. Let's say we're talking about your fighter friend. How do you bring this up with him? Like, what's something that's going to grab his attention that he's going to be interested in that you're going to be able to, like, bring into the conversation without him going, come on, man, like, you talked to me about that last week and, like, I'm not interested in, how do you do it? Like, I don't know. What's some of your secret sauce?
Yeah. So with me, I just try to dumb it down to the basics. You know, I don't try to get into the tech. I just try to give them stories. I try to give them examples, use cases, things like that. The problem is the technology that they have to like interface with sucks currently. The UX, the UI, the whole user experience. So I can break it down for them to where they understand it. But then when they go to use it, if it's blockchain, forget about it. It doesn't work well enough yet to where it's easy enough for somebody that doesn't understand this stuff to use it. It's really that simple. So the UX, the UI, all that type of stuff needs to be dumbed way down, make it super simple for people. And then you have to basically educate people on the use cases of cryptocurrency in a way that doesn't scare the hell out of them, right? Because they're like, wait a minute, you know, I just sold my house and I bought all this Bitcoin at $18,000 and now it's worth $10,000. You know, this is horrible, right? Or I bought this token my neighbor told me about and now it's worthless, right? So, and there's a lot of those stories going out there. So what they need to be doing is looking at things like, you know, like with Digibyte and like with Monarch, right? So, you know, we created Monarch Pay, right? It's for merchants. So that way they don't have to worry about credit card chargebacks. You don't have to worry about these high fees that they have to pay with credit cards. They can basically be using stable tokens and cryptocurrency for less than 1% of their fees with no chargebacks. It's great. Problem is, it requires a little bit of technical know-how. Like right now, you got to download, you know, like MetaMask, right? So getting a new merchant that's never understood, you know, crypto using MetaMask, forget about it, right? So with Monarch, it'll be in the wallet itself in the next few weeks. And we're trying to dumb it down so that way merchants realize, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to pay 3 or 4% to American Express, or I don't have to worry about these chargebacks. So things like that are stuff that we're doing, and we're just trying to make it, you know, stupid freaking simple for people to get into it. But you know, the technology isn't all there yet, so I'm having to like build this stuff as we go. You know, we built this. It's not like we're borrowing somebody's tech. Every line of code is us.
And that's the thing, right? Like, you've got a really, like, it's a nice looking wallet. It looks really, really good. I mean, Digibyte's not on it, but, you know, it's.
So, you know, you're here by popular demand. Obviously, I love you, dude. You're a great guy. And I love what you're doing for the community. But I just simply, you know, tweeted out, hey, what project you guys want us to interview next? And they all said Digibyte. And so, obviously, you know, I've been a fan of Digibyte from, you know, for a long time. You know that. I love what you guys are doing. So we'll add it like in the next, you know, week or two. So it'll be on Monarch for you in the next week or two. And of course,
yeah, buddy.
It's always free, baby. Hey, I don't charge anything. So, you know,
I love it. But that's just it. So you've got a great looking wallet. It looks really good. The Digibyte app as well. I'm really proud of how that looks. It looks freaking great as well. But I totally agree with you that it's still got to be simpler. In fact, even one of the things that I mentioned this morning in my latest Digibyte update video was, I said, we're going through and we're doing a bunch of translations. We still need to dumb them down. We still need to make them easier for people to understand. I talk about, actually in the video, writing down your recovery phrase and what that means. Why does somebody care? So, sad story, a friend of mine basically got the Digibyte app and I sent him some Digibyte. He's like, this is cool, man. You've gone and sent me like a couple bucks of Digibyte and we can send it back and forth. And he was like, yeah, this is awesome, and getting fired up. Right? Like, you've seen that kind of that aha moment people have when they discover it for the first time. He had that, and I'm there. And that's one of the reasons I love doing this so much, is to see that kind of that spark happen. Poor dude went home that night, bought himself some more. He's watching it go up and down and up and down in price for the next like week or whatever. He loved it. The problem was, he locked himself out of his app. He hadn't written down his recovery phrase. Because while we were there, and I'm talking with him, and I said, write down your recovery phrase when you get home, because we were out at a bar at the time when I first sent it to him. Like, we didn't
best
even have
a start. Yeah, best time to start talking about crypto and blockchain and this thing called a seed, right? You don't, it is the most important thing, you know, just make sure you're totally plastered at the bar right when they download the wallet and put all their money on it and don't write it down.
Exactly. Bad idea by me. Again, this is just like that sinking ship analogy. Bad idea. Seemed good at the time. In hindsight, not so bright. The problem was, is he went and he put another $100 on it. So now, instead of just having like $1, he's got $100 in there. He locks himself out. Funds are gone. Can't get them back. And I'm like, dude, it's fine. You wrote down your seed phrase, right? Like I told you at the bar. He's like, no. What about when I was messaging you 2 days later and we were talking about it, like keeping it somewhere safe, like in your lockbox that you've got in your office? No. Oh, so you didn't write it down and now your funds are gone. He's like, well, that just became a very expensive lesson then, didn't it? I'm like, yeah, but we shouldn't have to have that. And this is the kind of thing where if we were able to, maybe we need some kind of like, if the user hasn't written their phrase down and it's been more than 24 hours, or maybe another pop-up every single time they open the app until they've confirmed that key that they've written it down, like every single time, like nag them because it's essential and explain to them why we're nagging them. Hey, look, we're doing this for you. We got your best interests at heart here. We don't want you to lose your funds. But like you say, it's got to be stupid simple, like really, really simple. So
everything you just said right there, I mean, is the problem with decentralization, right? So The 1% of the people that are in blockchain right now, most of them, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, you know, they're part of that tribe, right? They're, you know, they're tribalist when it comes to this crypto versus that crypto. I've always taken the stance, I just want the stuff to work. I want it to be safe, reliable, cheap, and easy to use, right? So I don't care if it's Digibyte or if it's Bitcoin Cash or if it's freaking XRP or XLM. I don't care. I just want people using it. You know, it's that simple. Like, I don't care. I don't have my own blockchain. Basically working with all of them. You know, I just want stuff that works. At the core, the problem here is even if you had a pop-up that popped up every single time, how are you going to know that they wrote it down? You know, they're going to have to click a button that says, I wrote it down. And then you're trusting that they did. But did they? No. They just want to move on past that screen.
They want to just get rid of it. I agree to the terms and conditions.
Exactly. And then they move on. And now they're using the app. That's what they really want. But there needs to be a way to recover it, you know, if we're really going to bring the masses into this, right? So, you know, we've come up with different ways to do it. But one of the things that we've always been, you know, proud of with Monarch is people can start using it, download it, use our decentralized exchange, a wallet, everything. We don't even know their email address, which is good and bad. It's good and bad, right? So it's great for people that want to, you know, live the decentralized life. They don't want anybody knowing their information. So it's awesome. But again, if they ever lose, like your buddy, you know, the private seed, it's gone. So there's ways we can inject things like if you write down your, you know, if you, you know, maybe put in your email address, right? When you download the wallet, we're going to break up your seed, you know, not us, but your phone is, and it's going to send it out encrypted in like maybe 6 or 8 different pieces over the course of, you know, 6 or 8 weeks or something like that, or whatever. You can, there's all different kinds of things you can do that can make it easy, or you could just basically email it to them, right? But again, you know, this is one of the problems where it's safe, secure. Well, is that safer than them not writing it down? Probably, right? But how are we going to get the masses in while we have the most incredible technology in the world that is super freaking techie that requires you to bust out a pencil and a piece of paper to keep it safe? You know what I mean?
Well, so, exactly. And if you're at a bar, you don't have a pen or a pencil, at least not in New Zealand. I don't know what it's like in the States, but I don't remember people walking around going, pens, who needs a pen? Come get your pen.
Here in the States, different parts, man, those are weapons. You don't want those in the bar. You know, people get all excited. You know, somebody's got one in their hand or in their back. So, yeah, we have darts.
Right. but so, I mean, then the question is, well, okay, maybe instead of that, maybe we don't get them to write it down. Maybe we just back it up to their email or their Google Drive, for example. So if you're on Android, we can tie it in like that and things. But the problem is people are prone to reusing passwords. And so then we get into just the fact that people's security in general is abysmal. So my mom sends me a message. She goes, hey, you're not using my Netflix, are you? I'm like, nope, don't have your Netflix. I didn't even know you had Netflix. But anyway, mom, why? What makes you ask that? Mom, do tell, because I'm curious now. She goes, well, I just got a message from Netflix. I'm like, no, this is not going to end. What did it say, Mom? Well, somebody has just signed in to my Netflix account and is watching things in India right now. Mom, why would that be me? Okay, let's stop for a second here, Mom. Why? Tell me, do you trust me enough to tell me your password? So she just tells me her password. I'm like, Mom, don't tell me your password. Turns out she's used that one password for a bunch of different stuff. She uses that same password for her email address. So the people who have her Netflix password, have her email password, have her bank password, have the password to My Heritage Tree or something, which is where they got it from, because there was a breach there and a leak. So until, this is actually a really clever segue that I didn't even realize was happening, until the world starts to use DigiID and things to sign in to websites and applications, backing your stuff up to your email address is just a bad idea in general, because someone's going to get in there, and because 99% of people just reuse that same one password. Maybe they put an exclamation mark on the end of it or a capital letter because they they're required to buy that particular website, or they do a percent sign or something. You know, people just do an exclamation mark, let's be honest. But so if my mom was backing her stuff up to her email address, she's now screwed because they would be in there. And
no,
it's as bad as not having written it down.
All these are great points, but I was hoping you were going to blow my mind and be like, you know, mom, you know, why would you think it was me in India? She's like, well, son, I thought you were using a VPN, you know?
Yeah, because I know you're good with your security, son, and you route your stuff through,
yeah,
you know, Pakistan and things.
Here's the problem, you know, with all new, I guess, applications or new things that we're going to have to train people to use, right? So like with DigiID, right? So now they have to go learn that a little bit, right? They have to learn how to do this. It's one more thing that they got to do when they just want to write it down or email it to themselves. So we got to find a way to make it really simple. Like, again, this doesn't exist yet. Like, people have solutions, but again, it's another learning curve. So now they got to go learn this, and then they got to go learn this thing called blockchain, and then they got to learn, like, well, what the hell is cryptocurrency? Well, crypto, you know, is kind of what's used within the blockchain, and you can only use that crypto on that blockchain. There's lots of blockchains, but you know, it's like, dude, their eyes just start rolling back in their head.
Yes.
So again, this doesn't exist yet. So we have to it's going to take time. It's going to take time, but there needs to be a password recovery that only they have access to, but they have access to it. There needs to be like UX and UI that makes sense, you know, for your mom or for anybody that's never used crypto before, right? They're just like, buy. Okay, cool. I've got it. I lost it. How do I get it back? Oh, recover. You know, just like stupid freaking simple without them ever having to learn all these new systems. And so we just have a ways to go. You know,
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like that's also the hard part is because there is a big learning curve. And like you said, like if you want to go and use PayPal, you can just go and use PayPal. If you want to use your credit card, you just like you pick up your wallet and you just go right, tap, done. And you've used like PayPass or PayWave or whatever. Like it's not difficult. That's the barrier to entry there is if I lose my card, bank's got my back. If I, you know, sure, it's going to be stressful as somebody's going and spending money pretending to be me, but the bank's got my back.
It just sounds so bad. We all know
that. Regret saying that, aren't I?
Yeah, so you got the Titanic, right? What else? Your pro banks. All right, what else you got for us, Josiah? Come on, lay it on us.
Just wait. We've only been going for like 10, 15 minutes. Man, we can just bring out all of the... No, sorry. That's the barrier. So the hardest part about using PayPal, signing up for the damn thing, and putting in your name and your address, and that's it. That's the hardest part about using it. I then say, hey man, look, I'm going to send some money to Beatles through PayPal. What's your email address, dude? And you'll send me your email address and I send you the money and we're done. Like, that's easy. If you're trying to do that through, like, if I'm going to send you some Digibyte or some Bitcoin or some Ethereum, your monitor token, it's not that simple. I'll say, hey, what's your address? And you'll go, dude, I don't know. I mean, that's one of the, this is all getting very depressing very quickly, man.
Well, see, what we're talking about, though, is some of the pain points, the barrier to entry for the masses into crypto. And there's people that are making solutions like Unstoppable Domains. You know, it could be josiah.zil, right? So that's where you send your money. Problem is, you know, these are also, they have centralized aspects to them. So the thing that we need to be, you know, really talking about is, how are we going to make it as simple as PayPal? Well, then there's going to be trade-offs. And so that's where the 1% gets pissed, right? Because they're like, well, wait a minute, then it's not truly decentralized. And here's this whole argument. It's like, well, that's why, you know, nobody else is in it, because we're so focused on the decentralized side of things. We're not really worried about making it easier. And there's no real way to make it easier with our current, you know, technology going completely decentralized. So there needs to be some kind of trade-offs where, you know, some of it is centralized, some of it is decentralized, like maybe the super important things are decentralized and, you know, kind of all the ancillary stuff is centralized. And you, like I always tell people with, you know, like with YouTube or video games, you have all the big bulky stuff on the, you know, on centralized servers, and you have your digital assets, you know, on the blockchain itself that only you can access. So there has to be like some kind of trade-off like that. And then a super simple UX UI, kind of like that PayPal experience. And so we're still building all this stuff out. And one of the biggest problems, though, is there's so many other different blockchains, right? There's so many blockchains, so many different cryptocurrencies. Now you need swaps. You need interoperability. You need something that's going to be able to know that I just sent Digibyte to an ERC-20 address in the wallet, let me do it, and now it's all gone, right? Because you're like, oh, it shouldn't happen. It's like, well, yeah, whoever coded that wallet lets you send whatever the hell you want. And so I get that all the time. I get people that tell me in emails, you know, dude, I'm like, I'm not a noob. I understand crypto. I've been in this for 3 years. It's like, your wallet's crap. It won't send my tokens. I'm like, well, what do you mean? You won't send your tokens? Like, I have, you know, basic attention token and I want to send it. I'm like, well, do you have Ethereum? He's like, why would I need Ethereum? I'm like, because it's an ERC20 token, dude. You've been in this for 3 years, right? You need Ethereum to pay the network to move any ERC20 token. Oh, my bad. It's like, but these are people that are in the space and they don't even know simple things like that. So we got to make all this super, super, super simple, man, to get the
people. But at least, like, your app's going to prevent them from sending their BAT over to, like, a Bitcoin address, right? Like, it's a tough one because then you've also, like, your users are going to get pissed because they're like, I want to send it at Icon, and then you get your bad review, like, 1 star. No stars if I could, but they can't do
they
that.
Stole my so money. I can't send my Monarch tokens. I'm like, okay, well, it's great that you just want to dump them, but remember, it's an ERC-20, and you need Ethereum to send them. Oh. Thanks for the 1 star, though, by the way. Great job. It's like,
yeah. Oh, that's the worst, is take support through the review system. Like, don't leave it there. Okay. So really quickly, if anybody's watching this, if you ever have any questions, if you've got a problem, be it with Monarch Wallet, DigiBuy, with your Ethereum, with Bitcoin, don't go into the Play Store or the App Store and leave a bad review. That's the worst idea ever. Just please don't do it. Pretty, pretty please. Go and jump on Reddit. Jump on Discord, jump on Telegram, jump on Facebook groups, anything. So the idea of this being like a peer-to-peer and decentralized movement is that other people can also help you. You don't just need to get assistance from an admin. Go on and just ask a question. Find somebody who knows something and just ask. And you'll usually, most of the time, find that if they don't know themselves, they'll point you in the right direction and you'll be on your way, and there's a very good chance you'll get your stuff back. Just don't do it in the review system. It's the worst place for it ever.
Unless you lost your seed, nobody's going to help you. But I tell you what, one of the problems that I see with Telegram, right, is when somebody has an issue, they post their issue, then they get bombarded by scammers from freaking all these different areas all over the world telling them that they're an admin or they're there to help. Just tell them the seed, right? Give me your seed and I can do whatever. And so I understand why people leave reviews, but, you know, if they really want to solve the problem, they could, you know, just email support, or they could, you know, obviously, you know, hit Reddit or things like you said. But man, Telegram is freaking dangerous, man. That is dangerous. I've had friends lose money there, and, you know, they thought they were talking to me. It's like, when have I ever told you to buy anything? I'm like, I don't even tell people to buy Monarch tokens. I tell them to go earn them. You know, it's like, why would you give anybody pretending to be me or Snay your seed? It's like, but they do it, man. They do it. People, you know, people just, you know, they don't understand it. These scammers.
Exactly. Telegram. And this is one of the things that we're going to have to overcome, is maybe for, like, okay, so I look back at the likes of Linux creation distributions and things like that. Maybe there will end up being a company that does that kind of paid support, where you can go to them and go, hey, you know what? I got a problem. Here's $5. Help me out. Like, answer my question. Maybe we need something like that, where people can simply go to the Red Hat or Canonical and go, I got a problem, help me out. And sure, that's a centralized company. Does it have to be an official, like, ordained kind of company? No. Like, anybody could start that up. There you go. Great business idea. Let's do it. But
just what I need. More things to do.
I know, right? Like, as if your plate wasn't already full enough, man. Yeah. But that's one of the things. And, like, this is, maybe that's something that needs to be able to be accessed from the wallet really easily. Like, you hit the question mark button and you're thrown into, like, a help. The problem is then, obviously, if your funds aren't in there and it's not syncing your funds, well, then you can't send funds for technical support.
There is that, but there's always PayPal, right, for your centralized service.
Okay, but so like, this is interesting because obviously PayPal is pretty easy to use for the most part. Yeah, it sucks. Like, so a friend of mine sent me some money. He actually sent me, some money from America. So he sent me $1,000. They charged me like $50 for a fee. They wouldn't give it to me. They wouldn't let me withdraw it. And so I literally battled them for 3.5 weeks to try and get that money out of there, proving I'm me and sending them like ID. And then they're like, no, because you logged in from like 2 different computers within the space of an hour. I'm like, dude, I work in IT. I don't just have 2 computers. I got 10 right now. I can log into like right away. Two is not a problem. Stop bagging me for that. Nope, but you did it, and so now we're not going to, you know, like that's, but for the most part, it just works. When I go and I just pay with my credit card, if I'm at McDonald's, I did a short video, and I'm basically, you know those self-service kiosks? Do you have them as well?
We do.
Up to it, you put in, you're like, I want a Big Mac, and I want large fries, and you hit the pay button, tap your card, and you're done. And it takes seconds. I think my entire video is about 16 seconds long from the time I hit pay now to the time it's all gone through. That is fast. That is quick. That is easy. I can whip out my wallet and go, ta-da. But if I'm paying with crypto, at the moment, the only way that you can do that at point of sale is through an external application. So you've got to interface, first of all, with somebody like at a store. That's cool. Some stores still want to do that. No worries. Not everybody can afford full automation. Not a problem. But if you're a merchant and you have to then hit a button that goes, I'm going to pay with Bitcoin, and then the end user is going to say, actually, I don't want to pay with Bitcoin today. I want to pay with Litecoin instead. Or I'm going to pay with Digibyte. I'm going to pay with Monarch. Whatever. Now you've got to go back and you're like, okay, right, undo. I don't want that QR code. I've got to give them a different QR code. That then you've got to run over to the side and grab your iPad, and you're going to go, okay, right, firing up Coinomi. What was it you wanted to pay with again? Hang on, I've just gone. Let me go back because I'm not sending. I'm supposed to be receiving. Then you hold it up, and then they've got to grab their phone, and you do that kind of that little like dance, right, where you've got to like line it up. It's not in focus. It's because you're too close. It sucks. It is not a good experience at all. No one wants to do it. It's a pain in the ass. Just pay the extra like 1% and use your credit card and just swipe it.
Yeah, obviously there's some pain points there, right? So we've got a long ways to come. But I've solved this with Monarch Pay for the web, for the internet, right? So, and it'll be on the wallet as well. So basically, you, the merchant, if you get some kind of reoccurring, you know, payment, right? So say you get subscribers, it's $9 a month, whatever. You got one that's $9, one that's $15, one that's $20, whatever. You fill out this three or four fields one time. You just post that link on your website. Anybody that clicks it becomes your subscriber. They get your service. They go to your landing page, whatever. Does everything automated for them. So we're able to fix that. And again, if it doesn't exist, you got to make it. So that's what we did. We made it. Now for the merchants, what you're talking about is a point of sale system. So you're talking about a point of sale system, and those get expensive, right? So I think we got to kind of ease into that, right? Otherwise, you're going to need somebody there, like you said, operating some type of phone, some kind of tablet, something like that, right? So we got a little ways to go.
It's funny, actually, you mentioned reoccurring payments. It's one of the things that we've put into the Android app for our Digibyte. We haven't got it yet for iOS, but I did some looking into what you were talking about with Monarch Pay and things after you put that video up like a week or two ago, and it sounds like what you've got is basically that, but on steroids, which will allow people really easily to do like a crypto Patreon or something along those lines. Because at the moment, you can't do that because every time you make a crypto transaction, it's more of a push rather than I'm taking it out of your wallet. Because obviously, we don't want people to take stuff out of our wallets. That's bad. The problem is that you've got to be prompted as a user. There's a whole lot of other things that kind of goes into it. But I love that you've got reoccurring payments in them. Like this is a huge first step, because if I want to go and pay my landlord, I got to pay them every week. I'm not going to want to go and hunt down their address and try and find them and go, don't remember if it had an M or if it was a Z on the end of their address. And I think it was a capital, not a lowercase. So maybe I miscopied that or something. Maybe I didn't quite get all of the letters. You know, like all of that sort of thing is just like pain points. So the fact that you've got a reoccurring payment system, I think is huge. I think it's amazing. And this is the kind of thing that we need more of. I'm so excited for that sort of stuff, man. Like that's fantastic.
Practice what we preach, man. We got some of the best people in the world on our team. You know, we got the grace of God, hard work, all that good stuff. And then what I was talking about earlier with centralized versus decentralized, right? So it's decentralized, but we trick you. We make it look like it's centralized because I know that people want it. They want the centralized services. So even though it's decentralized, we add in all these centralized features that look centralized. So if you're a merchant, you're going to want to be able to get a hold of your customers if you're sending them t-shirts every month, right? How do you do that? So you're going to be able to get that information, you as the merchant, and you're also going to be able to download all that information. Say you got 100,000 users, 100,000 subscribers. You can download the CSV. So that way you could import it into QuickBooks or something else like that.
That's right? Cool, man. Say, that's awesome.
say, you know, Josiah's got, you know, some membership, you know, and, you know, every month, you know, you're able to get X, Y, and Z. I just subscribe to Josiah's, you know, service. But now what happens? So we added other things there too, to where if you want, at the end of their subscription, after they sign up, it just takes a few clicks, that you can add your own, you know, like your own URL, your own landing page. So that way, when they, nice. After they subscribe, they go over to your centralized, you know, web service or whatever, you know, Josiah's website, and they can do more stuff there if you want them to. Or maybe they'll instantly have access to whatever it is you were selling them. So all these like centralized type things that people would expect, you know, we did in a decentralized manner. So, you know, we're just trying to make it stupid freaking simple. Once we get past MetaMask, which will be like in the next week or two, then nice. That's really going to start helping as well. But
yeah, you
know, we just got to make stuff stupid freaking simple for people.
Yeah, well, so because there are two things that really stand out to me. So number one is... It's got to be easy. It's got to be simple. Like, my mom's got to be able to use it. She's not going to install MetaMask. She's just not.
Yep.
But if you consider, hey, go download the app. Yeah, sure. If she's got an iPhone, she'll go download an app. No problems there. That's totally doable. But aside from, like, continuously making it more and more simple, removing or at least lowering that barrier to entry, I think the other thing as well that is so great about this space is, you mentioned it earlier, we have choice. So it's not just that we all need Bitcoin to win. I mentioned this on my Reddit post. I've actually got about 7 different Digibyte wallets on my cell phone. And I use all of them. I've got Coinomi, I've got Jax, I've got Exodus, I've got the Digibyte wallet, I've got an old Digibyte wallet, I've got the Garda wallet, I've got Insecure, and I've got another one, I'm sure, I don't remember. But yeah, like, and I use all of them. They're all varying degrees of difficulty and different interfaces and things like that. But I think one of the really cool things that we've got is the ability to not just keep all of our eggs in one basket. Like, for the most part, if people are using banks, they've just got one bank and that's it. With cryptocurrency, you can have multiple different wallets and things, and no one cares. No one can stop you. At least they shouldn't be able to if it's a permissionless network, right? But I like that users could do things like, they can do reoccurring payments, for example, with your Monarch wallet, but maybe they then take your token and they want to keep that in, are you in Exodus wallet as well or anything like that?
So it's in ERC-20. So again, I don't really follow a lot of the other wallets out there because they don't really, some of them don't allow you to add your own tokens. So I don't know if they do or not.
Right. But so, like, let's say, for example, you want to keep a whole bunch in cold storage. You can do that with BitFi, for example. So maybe you've got some of your stuff with your Monarch wallet, you keep it there, but you've got a large stash that you've kind of put off to one side that you keep in effectively a cold storage. So the sheer fact that you can do that, I think we need to start encouraging more people not just to have one wallet and kind of shift away from this, I've just got one piece of plastic, one FPOS card, one credit card, and maybe users are okay with, like, over time having two wallets. Maybe they start to have three wallets. I don't know. That's kind of...
For me, in crypto, that makes sense, right? For me, you know, for people that understand it, that's awesome. But now, tell your mom, doesn't matter. You got, you know, coins here, tokens there. You got this wallet, that wallet, that wallet, this wallet. Use this wallet when you want to buy that, and use that wallet when you want to buy this. Yeah, one wallet, man. That's why Monarch. That way you put the best of everything in one place for everybody.
Yep. On log there in. We go. So when log did you guys on that? We'll can start recommending that one, man.
Telling you, man, I've been a fan of Digibyte for a long freaking time. So you guys have a very complicated blockchain that is incredible. You know, it's awesome. So we'll definitely add it within the next 2 weeks. We already have it. All of our transactions, all of our keys, seeds, all that stuff are built right there on the phone. So you don't even need Wi-Fi on any of that kind of stuff. So it generates the keys right there on the phone. So we've already done all that for DGB. We'll probably have our node up and running within the next, you know, week and a half tops. And so we'll add it there for you guys. But that way, you know, it's the best of everything in one place. So if you want to, you know, buy, sell, send, store, receive, earn interest, access nice. Blockchain games, file storage, whatever, man, it's just, that's the app for your mom. See, that's what I'm trying to do. You're starting to kind of see it's stupid freaking simple to where whatever you want to do in crypto, you can do from one place. So with one login, but
yeah. And that's the thing. So then she's only got to back up that one private phrase.
Well, yeah.
But make sure she does it.
Yeah, see, because then that's a catastrophe too, right? If you don't back up your seed, we don't even have your email address, right? So we're useless to you when it comes to, you know, protecting, you know, your seed. That's the user's responsibility. But that, I think, is one of the problems, one of the issues, right? You know, we need to come up with a way that, and I've got about 10 in my brain that, you know, we could actually, you know, kind of restore it for them to where we would never know their seed. So they would just like be prompted when downloading the wallet, how they want to save it without us ever having access to it. That just needs to be there. The stuff that's out there right now, you know, encrypted passcodes are emailed to people, things like that. You know, it's just, I don't know, but we got to figure that part out. So, and I've got some ideas, but we just got to make it everything just easier for people to use. That's how we'll get the 99% in. You get merchants that are using it, then the people will start using it. But how do we get the people to use it? Well, it has to be easy and they have to be incentivized, right? They got to be, you know, maybe they get, you know, like with purse.io, right? You use it on purse.io and you get like 10 or 30% off on Amazon, right? Yep. I think if the world knew that, they might actually start doing it. Problem is that the cryptos that they use, I think, are so freaking volatile, it could drop like 85% in a day, right? So there's little things. It's like, oh, you were so close. But if you used a stable token or something like that, like a dollar, then maybe people would do it, right? So there's just all these little nuances, and we're just kind of figuring out as we go. There's no rush. We'll get there. I guarantee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really funny. I mean, I'm sure you see the same thing as well, and people are like, I bought this token a week ago. Why am I not a millionaire? I spent $100 a week ago and I'm not a millionaire and I'm sad about that. I want my monies. Why win moon? I'm just like,
yeah. So, yeah. We get that all the time. Yeah.
Same as you. I've never once said to somebody, you should go buy Digibuy. Never. I like quite the opposite, in fact. And this probably going to be one of those sinking ship analogies. It's not because I don't think people should buy Digibuy. Quite the opposite. Like, I freaking love this project, and I think people should get involved. I think people should want to buy it. But don't do it because I've said so. Don't do it because you saw Josiah on a YouTube video, and he likes Digibuy, and so you're going to buy Digibuy. Don't do it because of that. Do it because you've looked into it, because you like what it's about, because you like the future of the project, and things like that. Like, if you can go and find out for yourself those kinds of things and are still interested in it, great. Absolutely, then you should go and get some. But I'm not ever going to stand up here like you and say, go and buy some. Especially because at the moment, a lot of it is pure speculation, both around Bitcoin, Digibuy, Monarch, Litecoin, Verge, all of those. It's a lot of speculation because, like you say, your token could drop 85% in not in one day. Well, unless it's BitConnect, but...
I mean, things happen, right? So that's why I always tell people to earn them. So, you know, we always do some kind of bounty, some kind of whatever, so that way they can get into the game without having to actually pay money for it. So like right now, they can go to monarchwallet.com/, I think, what is it, like a contest or something like that, and they can start earning free tokens just like that. Does Digibuy have any way for people to get involved by, you know, doing some kind of task where they can earn Digibuy?
Well, so one of the things that we've got is there's actually a bunch of faucets that have spun up recently, especially in the last sort of 3 to 6 months. We before that, we never actually had any, and then all of a sudden there's like 5 or 6 different ones. And so I have people messaging me going, hey, I just earned like, you know, a couple of Digibuy over the last, like, you know, all I had to do was go and click and prove I'm not a bot or something, and here we go, I've got some Digibuy, that's cool. And then with that, what they're then doing is they're saying, let's get into DigiAssets. So DigiAssets is kind of our ERC-20 equivalent, where you can issue an asset on top of the Digibuy blockchain. The difference is we're not entirely Turing complete, like Ethereum is, but we scale a lot more. So the idea being that we are already something like 50 times more scalable capacity-wise compared to Ethereum. So if CryptoKitties comes along again, on DigiAssets, sweet. We're cool. We're not going to run into any problems. And so people are now looking at that going, well, maybe I can issue a token for my workshop or something where I work on cars. So you've gone and got yourself $500 worth of stuff done with this vehicle over here. I'm going to give you 5 DigiAssets of my own personal token And then next time you need any work done on your car, you can come back and redeem those and you'll get like 5% off your bill or something along those lines. So things like that, simply because they started off getting something for free, is a really interesting way to get people on board. The problem is that as soon as you give something away for free, like if you're airdropping it, for example, obviously it loses value.
Or they just try to dump it as fast as they get it for, you know, something else, you know, dollars or whatever.
Yeah, well, especially in parts of the world where, look, if you can get yourself 10 bucks, 10 bucks is a lot of money. We were doing some philanthropic work in Venezuela, and over there, $10 is a lot of money. Like, that will go far. So, yeah, on the one hand, sure, it's great that you can get yourself a little bit here or there, or something can get airdropped to you. But on the other hand, people got to eat, man. And so that's where obviously, like...
So you get those restaurants, man, and start taking Digibyte. There you go. Now you can eat.
Well, the problem is, if you get Digibyte, then it's a mission because they've then got to have the Coinomi wallet, and we're back to that square again with the whole payments.
Sure. The point of sale, yeah. But like with restaurants, you typically have a waiter or waitress, and they walk up to you or whatnot, right? I mean, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, just an app they download, or I don't know. A whole new point of sale, I think, is never going to take off. So, like, I've created a lot of products, you know, over the years that are in stores all over the world, and one of the pain points is if you're trying to sell software, or if you're trying to do something different from the way these stores are doing it now, it's too hard to get them to do it. Because, for instance, like a point of sale, you know, they don't want to change their entire business structure to take some new form of payment. They're just not going to do it. So I'm not going to spend $500 on some new reader, you know, just to take your type of payment. I'm going to keep it just the way it is. You either work with what I got or you don't work here. So,
well, that's the juicy thing. So we've got a couple of developers who we were in talks with. I think there was about 3 different payment processors. And we said to them, we were like, look, if you can send us a machine to test with, or even if you just literally send us like your APIs to integrate with, we will do everything, like the whole lot. None of this, we're expecting you to do it, or basically we've got developers, they know their stuff, they know the blockchain in and out. We can get a server hosted that you can interface with, so it's literally going to cost you nothing. We'll do all the hard work. We'll tie in with what you have right now, so there's not even end users having to buy extra stuff. And the payment processes are just like, no, not happening. And so that's, as harsh as it sounds, and that's the thing, is I've personally copped a lot of flack for saying exactly what you've just said in the past. Payments in retail and point of sale is a tough market to crack. And there are other potentially better ways that people can be using cryptocurrency and blockchain projects and things outside of just buying your cup of coffee. That, like, that's what everybody talks about, because for some reason back in the day, actually, I think back in the day it was, you would buy a pair of jeans. I think that was one of the earlier ones, if memory serves me right, back in like 2013. You've been around since what, like 2011, 2012?
Yeah. 2011.
You've seen the narrative change.
You know, man. And I can tell you right now, if somebody has to buy something or do something, they're not going to do it if they're a merchant. But if you are able to integrate Digibyte or whatever it is you're trying to use, whatever cryptocurrency, into what they're already using, they'll actually do it if there's people saying that they would use it. So you get a celebrity or something, you get a celebrity says, hey, man, I'd be going over here at Denny's. I'd buy breakfast at Denny's once a day, you know, if they accepted Digibyte. You know, too bad they're, you know, too lazy to do it, you know, or something like that. And you start that, you know, kind of the social science behind it. You know, you could actually get them to do it if it doesn't cost them money. It's just a little bit of time or something.
You know? Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, so we've got people and developers that are happy to do it.
Sure.
Totally happy. We've been in talks with a number of them. Can't get them to budge on it. Just can't. Like, we'll get kind of like halfway through it. They're about to send us their APIs or something, and then they're just like, actually, no.
Maybe they're like, maybe we'll just create our own crypto. Why would I use yours? That's usually when the talks stop, it's like somebody on their tech team says, hey, wait a minute, we could just, you know, create our own token. So. Yeah. Yeah.
We're now going to have like the Dunkin' Donuts token, and we're going to have the McHappy Meal token, and we're going to have the Venti Latte.
That's like you were talking about, you know, with Digibyte, how people can start, you know, creating their own tokens. Well, you could actually spin it that way to where, hey, look, you know, this is Digibyte blockchain, but, you know, now you got the Denny's token, right? Or you got, you know, Bob's token, the garage token, whatever, you guys can use it. But then there becomes a liquidity issue, right? So there's there has to be money there, right?
They have to. Well, I mean, that's a good point. One of the the really good things to like so fraud around vouchers and things is actually surprisingly common. And if we can fix that in a secure and fast and easy to use manner, where the vendor themselves, the company, has complete control over it. Maybe they want to issue another 100,000 of these coffee tokens. So then, cool, you can go and issue another 100,000 of these coffee tokens and give people one. So instead of like just hitting a stamp on a card, like I've got a collector's stamp here. I bought those little pop vinyls, and I bought a couple of them. And the store clerk basically just went stamp, scribbled on top of it, and that's it. There's nothing stopping, and this is, funnily enough, what happens a lot around the world in a variety of different places, people going and getting a like just a pen and just writing and forging it. Happens all the time. People lose a ton of money to that. If you could use DigiAssets instead and use that to, like, every time somebody gets a coffee card, they basically just hold up their phone and they shows your Digibyte address, and then you send them the loyalty token. Cool, that's great. Can that be integrated into their point of sale system, their existing stuff? Hell yeah, absolutely. Is the world ready for that just yet, though? We can't even get people to back up their own damn private phrase, let alone...
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, if everybody's in a race out the gate to get this done tomorrow, we're all going to fail, right? But over time, everything you just mentioned right there will actually be a reality. People will be using cryptocurrency. You see China, they're talking about, you know, in November going live with their own cryptocurrency. So the people over there that were using WeChat now are probably going to be using this digital renminbi, right? This digital currency. So, you know, it may start there, and then all the governments over here start following suit because they realize what kind of control, you know, the evil control they could have over the masses. You know, it's a cryptocurrency is, you know, the greatest, you know, freer or enslaver of the people, right? Because it can go either way. And so, you know, with China doing their own cryptocurrency, you know, you're going to start seeing other governments do it as well, other countries, nations, all that stuff do it as well. So everything we're talking about right now may actually come to fruition faster than we think just through adoption like that. And people are like, hey, man, wait a minute. This Chinese stuff sucks because they freeze my account. They know who I am. They know where I spend it. But this thing called Digibyte doesn't. So I can use this Digibyte stuff or this Bitcoin thing. You know, this Bitcoin thing keeps going up every year. Why don't I do that, right? So I think, you know, through awareness and through time and making things, you know, easier, we're going to get the adoption we want. It's just not going to happen as fast as everybody wants. Right now, it's a speculator's game, man. That's what we're in. Anybody saying otherwise is just, you know, lying to themselves. Everybody's in this right now because they expect their bags to go back to where it was, right? You know, the people that are truly in it for the tech are freaking building it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're building it. You know, that's why I'm actually trying to solve freaking problems. We're building it. Yeah. Right? So it's like,
so I've had to take out a loan and actually go and pay somebody to try and make certain supporting services, because for the longest time I was going, you know, people can do this and here's some great ideas. And I was like, why not just take a punt yourself and go and actually just get some money and go and do it and get somebody else to build it, because I'm not a dev. I can't code it, but these are the kind of the things that have got to happen. Like you mentioned with reoccurring payments, it seems so simple, but like, let's be honest, aside from, so that's in the Android Digibuy wallet, that's in the Monarch wallet. And I think that might be in one other wallet. Nobody else has reoccurring payments. This is like key.
Yeah, I mean, especially that does everything that we do that you would expect to be able to do as a merchant, right? So that's one of the big pain points. Like, you know, it may be easy to do like reoccurring payments, but not the way we did it. We're just making it easy for people to use. You know, that's so, you know, another week or two, it'll be available in mobile, and that won't require MetaMask and all that kind of cool stuff, but so cool stuff, right? But yeah, we're getting there. What about Digibyte, man? What other stuff you got going on, man? What you got, any new releases coming out? I know you said you got Dandelion and released, right? That's already released. What else you got?
So we've done Dandelion. That's now on Android and on iOS and as part of our core wallet that we did a couple of months ago now.
For the noobs that don't follow DGB, man, what is Dandelion in a nutshell?
Yeah, so quick elevator pitch. Basically, if I'm going to go and send you Bitcoin, my IP address gets broadcast to everybody, and certain nefarious people can use that IP address to track down where I physically live. That's not good, obviously. If I've gone and said to people that I've got a little bit of Digibyte, because then thugs can come to your home and go, knock, knock, knock. Yeah, we would like you to give us your Digibyte, or we're going to burn your house down or something. So Dandelion is a privacy protocol that masks that. So it sends it kind of, the easiest way is to picture a dandelion, like the flower. And what happens is you'll send your transaction, will bounce to one person, it'll bounce to another one person, it'll bounce to another one person. But the difference is that nobody along the chain knows that if you were the sender or if you were just another hop in the stem, and there's a random coin flip that occurs every time. And then after a while, somebody flips it and they get a heads. And so all of a sudden it goes poof, and it flowers and everybody out there gets the transaction, and it's...
Oh, very cool, man. So it's similar to like a coin mixer just on steroids and just for location purposes, as well as, you know, the actual transaction. Does it also mask, you know, how much money was sent?
So it doesn't mask the values. So the values are still on the public ledger. It doesn't adjust our block timing or anything else like that as well, which is great. We still have 15-second blocks. It doesn't add anything in terms of extra data. It basically just says along the way, I'm going to try and transmit this as a dandelion transaction, and you expect that the next node is just going to do a coin flip and optionally go, yep, I'm going to pass this on to one person, or I'm going to give this to everybody. And
cool, man.
Yeah, so
it's like a coin mixer for IP addresses, but no ring signatures for, like, you know, privacy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the theory is that over time, as we build our volume and things like that, it will be more difficult to obviously do those kinds of chain analytics. But the idea with Dandelion is it's on mobile and it's super easy. There is a little toggle. If you want something to be super fast, like hypothetically, you're at McDonald's and you want to buy your Happy Meal, you can just switch Dandelion off when you go and you send your transaction. Or if you want to be private, just because you are, maybe you live next door to McDonald's and you're always on their Wi-Fi, and so instead you leave that on and it takes an extra 10 or 15 seconds for the transaction to go through, while it bounces around a whole bunch of different places. So Dandelion came out a few months ago when we did our major update for the OtoCrypt network upgrade. I can see myself going in and out of Fogos all the time, man. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's what do you call it? It's a Logitech. You must have one of those HD 1080p ones that mine does the same thing. You know, it's not different right now, but normally if I'm moving around quite a bit, then it'll do the same thing. Focus in.
The Brio, because it does like 4K 60 and it's the same, and I can see it, and it's just every now and then out the corner of my eye, I'm like, oh. Apologies to the viewers if I go fuzzy. It's, yeah, anyway. But so when we did our big OtoCrypt upgrade, what we did was we replaced one of our algorithms. We have five algorithms. Now, the interesting thing about how we do this is different from, let's say, Ravencoin. People have heard of Ravencoin. They're familiar with it, with X16R. Well, some of the more technical people are. With Ravencoin, you have a random chance. So each block, it'll pick a different algorithm inside this X16R, like, sub-algorithm. I think I'm explaining this all right.
Of course.
Everybody agrees, right, what we've just done is Blue Midnight Wish. Now we're going to instead do a SHA-256 block. And then after that SHA-256 block, we all go, right, the next one is going to be a Scheme block, for example, or a Ketchak block. Everybody all agrees on the same one, and you all then swap, and you then use that next algorithm, and then you all swap, and you all use that next algorithm. That's how the multi-algo of Ravencoin works with X16R. With Digibyte, we've got five of them, and they are all competing every single time. So what we did is we swapped out one of them with a FPG. Actually, you can see I've got a couple of them down there, just these little miners. They're working away doing their thing. They use next to no power. They're very low power cost little units. Now, the idea behind this is we wanted some different hardware, because we don't want just one manufacturer making all of the ASICs that are used. We want a bit of diversification. We don't want that to be like a possibility like the ant bleed vulnerability that happened, where maybe hash power gets shut off, or maybe it gets pointed at a different competing fork, as BSV, BCH have done, that sort of thing. We want that diversity. We've found our kind of our pain points, and we're addressing and smoothing them out, sort of thing. So we've got OtoCrypt. OtoCrypt replaces one of those algorithms, so now it basically battles every single block against the other four, and they all compete every single, well, it's every 15 seconds, actually. So, that's how the Dandelion upgrade basically got brought in as part of that as well. We kind of, like, snuck it in there with everything else. Not snuck it in there. It sounds very underhanded, doesn't it? We told everyone it's coming.
Well, I mean,
like, hey, this is great. It's happening. Be excited.
Yeah, it was in between when you're moving chairs around on the deck of the, you know, Titanic. So it's all
good. Yes. Well, we've got to get rid of those plastic ones. We wanted some nicer wooden chairs instead. And
yeah. Yeah. At least those ones will float, right? So at least when the ship goes down, you know, the wooden ones will float. So
if they had more wooden ones, then Jack wouldn't have died. And everybody, like, we wouldn't have had the movie. So
yeah, or if she just moved over a little bit, maybe they both could have been on the door.
Dude, like, that's your girlfriend. Like, just, it's okay to give her a little cuddle, man. Like, she's cold. She wants your body warmth.
Awesome, man. Well, we've been going for about an hour and change. So, I mean, obviously, you know, people probably want more of an update. So where can they go to follow all the cool stuff that you guys are doing and all the cool stuff that's coming out?
Right. So if you're interested in just like the major updates, we use a lot of like Blockfolio Signal and it kind of, it'll push those big updates out to your phone where we're listed on a new exchange and things like that. You can follow us on Twitter as well at DigiByteCoin. We do a lot of things like with the community, people talking cool stuff. We'll share that as well. Really exciting stuff. Or you can follow me as well. I'm at DGB_chilling. I also do daily updates as well. I got a YouTube channel, where I'll, yeah, every day I've been doing daily updates recently. It started off as a friend said, I bet you can't do a week of videos. And I'm like, watch me. And now we're 60 days in and still going somehow with daily update videos. So
hey, man, there you go, man. Just keep spreading that crypto word, man. We definitely need more and more people in the space all doing it, man. So I'm a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of DigiByte, too. So I'm going to make sure that we get that in the Monarch Wallet the next, week or two, something like that. We've already done all the hard work. So now it's just, you know, a little node set up and this and that. And we'll get that out there for people so they can start using Monarch with DigiByte. So
beautiful, man. Hey, look, if you do want to hand with anything as well, hit me up. I'm happy to help out. One of the things that we do is we send out, like, integration guides and stuff like that. If people are watching and they want to find out how they can use DigiByte within their own wallet, service, project, whatever, we do have information on that, dumps it down, makes it nice and easy, like step-by-step guides and stuff even. Happy to help out. Feel free to hit us up.
Cool, man.
Appreciate you having me on your show, man.
Anytime, man. It's always great to hang with you. So these integration guys, are they going to, like, you know, they're going to show up at the door and do all the hard work for us? they're going to write down our private seed for us?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to send your private seed and your private key, the one where you keep all of the user's funds in. If you can send me that as well, I'll help you out, man. Don't you worry. And I'm not a Telegram bot either. And
Josiah on Telegram, yeah. So these are all jokes, people. So, yes, always keep your seed safe.
Never send me it.
Yeah, no. never. And don't ever do that to anybody on Telegram either. So never, ever send that stuff to anybody on Telegram. It's 100% a scam all the time. So
every time.
Anyways, yeah. Anyways, well, it was great to hang with you. It was great to get
likewise, the man.
Kind of, you know, talk about crypto, man, some of the pain points. So it's only going to get better, man. It's only going to get better. And I'm sure we're going to be the ones that have a big part in doing it. So
yeah, I love it, man. And hey, thank you for all that you do. And again, like, thank you for taking that let's keep it simple kind of motto. And I'm glad that there is, like, a kindred spirit who sees that same sort of thing, who wants to be able to help people and give, like, my mom, for example, a reason to want to use crypto. Like, that's cool, man. And should take a bow. Yeah.
No, I don't know about any of that. I'm just doing my part, man. God's been good to us, so we're just trying to give back. But that's why we can give away $100 of Bitcoin Cash in every one of these videos. Maybe I should start giving away some DigiByte, you know? So maybe I'll mix it up a little bit. Yeah, maybe I'll mix it up. So cool, brother. Well, it was great hanging with you. And until next time, God bless, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Have a good one, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Huge thanks to Josiah. It's always a great time hanging out with Mr. Fun. So I guess I'll be proper. Sorry. Chief Fun Officer. So always great hanging out with you. You got a great community there at DigiByte. And, you know, we're going to support him too. We're going to add the coin to the Monarch wallet. So there you go. Next week or two, something like that. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities.
Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right.
God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.